Good morning. It's about time for us to begin. We're going to be in Colossians 3, 9 through 11. Jason Mock, when you get there, would you read that for us? Thank you. So last week we talked about telling the truth. And we talked about small things, right? And we talked about big things. And we talked about how we need to be in the habit of telling the truth on all things, right? And if we tell the truth on the small things, will that make it easier to tell the truth on the big things? Yes. We got to be in the habit, right? Habits are important, right? Good habits are important. As hard as it is to break a bad habit, hopefully it's almost that hard to break a good habit. So we want to be in the habit of telling the truth. People who tell the truth. So, in Matthew chapter 5, verses 33 through 37, Lowell, would you read that? Matthew 5, 33 through 37. Alright. So what is Jesus trying to get across here? Be honest, right? But it seems like there's a lot of words to just say that. You could say, don't lie. What is he getting at? What's his reasoning? What do you think he's really trying to say that people of God, right? The Sermon on the Mount's a very radical thing. If you really read what it says and compare it to what the world says, it's completely different. Right? And it's very densely packed. I mean, you could just spend months and years. I really believe if you got the Sermon on the Mount, you understand something about being a Christian that you really can't get from anywhere else. We can talk about a lot of things, but this is Jesus talking about people who are of the kingdom of God. And he spends this many verses in this very densely packed sermon talking about this. What is he trying to let us know? The people of God, the people of the kingdom of God, do what? They tell the truth. They have integrity, count on the word. So that's the same thing, but just a little bit, you know, more. And so, if you go up to one of our elders, I love picking on them, and you ask them a question and they tell you the answer, do they have to go, does Mr. Ely go, now Zane, seriously, I'm really telling the truth. Honestly, I mean, this is the answer. They go, they just give you the answer. Right. That's what it is. You know, like my example, Mr. Dillard, he doesn't say that, right? But he doesn't have to. Because he doesn't lie. Right? Yes. Right. When a follower of God, a Christian, however you want to say it, says something, you can take it to the bank. They don't have to swear by something. They don't have to make all these grand gestures. They don't have to do this. Yes and no. That's the kind of people we need to be. And so when we talk about, in Colossians, about not lying to one another, putting off the old self. What is the old self? And if you get this wrong, Zeke will come and hurt you because we talked about this very thing just a few minutes ago. He will hurt you in the most Christian way possible though. Slaves to sin. Slaves to lying is a sin, right? And that's been put away, put off. And now what are we supposed to be? Truth tellers. We have put on a new self, right? In the image of His Creator. Zeke also talked about the characteristics of God. What is the characteristic of God he talked about that applies most to this? Truth. God does not lie. Good, you were listening. Okay. So, yeah. I hate when Zeke doesn't listen to his own preaching. No. So, truth. God does not lie. We are going to be like our Creator. We're going to be like God. We are to be holy like Him, so we're going to put off falseness and we're going to be true. Our yes be yes and our no be no. Now, in James chapter 4, there's a discussion of going off to a city and we're going to do business and make money, and what is said about that? Right. So we need to be careful in saying what we are going to do or not do. Because are we in control of everything? Alright, so if you write a legal contract, there's a force majeure, right? Major force. Is anybody familiar with force majeure in contract law? You're lucky. Force majeure is an act of God. It's like, okay, we're going to do this, but if we have a strike, a labor strike, if there's an act of God, if there's a terrorist attack, then obviously things are going to have to change, and you, in the performance of that contract, can assert force majeure, and often a court will decide, is this really your bad planning, or is this, you know, there was a hurricane that destroyed your factory, so therefore you're not going to, you know, give 1,000 widgets to your customer on time. So we need to understand that we are not in control. True? We can't do everything. So we need to bring God into this. Lord willing. Right? You know, you promise your kids, well, we're going to go to Disney World, you know, this summer. Can you really guarantee that? You can't. I mean, horrible things can happen, great things can happen, and you might not go to Disney. We need to introduce and live by the thought that we aren't in control of everything, right? Lord willing is part of that. Not as an escape clause, because if we say Lord willing, then we need to be going to do that unless something major outside of our control happens, but we need to be people who are yes can be trusted and our no can be trusted. Right? Take it to the bank. Yes.
Before we get too far away from what we were looking at in John in
Colossians 3.
There are some things that are beyond our control, but there are some things that are utterly within our control. And that's what Paul is talking about in Colossians 3. He says, these were ways that you used to live, because you made those choices to do that, but now you're a new creature, so a new creature is looking for a new expression, a new way to express the difference and the change that's happened to you.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what this whole chapter is all about, becoming who we say we are.
Mm-hmm.
And he tells us, I mean, he gives us more examples in verses 12 and following, you know,
mm-hmm.
because we used to be people who slandered and had malice and lied to one another. Now, because we're chosen of God, he says, we have a heart of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, patience. We bear with one another. We forgive each other, you know, because we weren't those kind of people before. And every one of those things is a choice that we make. And it's because of the expression of truth of the God who lives in us, or that we say lives in us, that we do those things.
Right. So, we have this new self. We're going to be telling the truth. We're going to do the small things. And then we talked a little bit last week about the big things that we have to tell the truth on, right? And I think one of the things that we have to tell the truth on was something that came up in the lesson this morning is what kind of person are we? I think one of the worst things we can do is lie to ourselves about who we are, what we're good at. You know, if we think we deserve salvation, then obviously we need to reevaluate that, right? Salvation by the grace of God. But in our relationships with one another, really evaluate where you're at. When you say something, do people go, eh, okay. If it's convenient, Zane will show up on time. Yeah. Oh, Zane said he'll be here at 9. Okay, well, start getting worried about 10:30. Or is it like, no, it's something, I mean, something can happen, but he's going to be here. Or, you know, Zane said he would be happy to help. Well, where is he? Or, you know, it's those promises. It's the things that we need to people need to trust us, that we're going to do what we need to do. Yes.
Reminds me of you know, Psalm 15, where it talks about, you know, who can live on God's holy hill.
Mm-hmm.
Well, one of them is the guy who swears to his own hurt and doesn't change. You know, that's what, you know, you were talking about, mm-hmm. kind of an escape clause in a contract. That's what those escape clauses are there for. So you can get out of responsibility.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, God's holy guy, or gal, doesn't look for an escape clause. He makes a promise, and because his word is his oath, his word is his bond, he can be trusted to perform it, even if it costs him something.
Mm-hmm. Right, and that's probably my favorite. He steals stuff from me all the time. That's my favorite one. Psalm 15, verse 5, swears to his own hurt and does not change. Right? And that's the best definition of a truth teller, I think, that we can contain. If you say something, you don't change even if it hurts. You don't change your mind. Well, you know, it didn't work out the way I thought. Swears to your own hurt and does not change. Even when it's painful. Even when it's not to your advantage, you know, even if it doesn't work out like, that's what you're gonna do. You're not gonna change it because you said. Right? Even if you can have a great excuse, a great reason, you know, and I know I've said it before, but I like the Wonder Years, thing about excuses and reasons. The boy, did something wrong and the grandmother's talking to him, and I don't know, I've watched Wonder Years maybe a half an episode, so I'm not saying it's a good show. But anyway, the grandmother's like, well, you know what? And he starts giving these reasons, and the grandmother says, wait. The smarter you are, the more imaginative you are, you will come up more and more reasons of why you did it. But it's still wrong. And that's what we've got to do. It doesn't matter how great your reasons are, it's still wrong. It doesn't matter how imaginative you are, it's still wrong. So we need to be people who tell the truth to each other. And that starts with the small things. It starts with telling ourselves the truth, right? There are things I'm good at, and there are things that I am not so good at, and there are things I'm really bad at. You got to know those things and be honest. Work to improve, but don't pretend that you're something that you're not. And that really takes a lot of introspection. Zach and I were talking a few weeks ago, and he's a lot younger than me, obviously. And he was like, well, what's the difference really between 40 and 50? And I said, I learned a lot about me. And it's kind of scary how much I learned. And I hope I don't learn as much from 50 to 60. Because how, you know, but that really is, what's the difference between 40 and 50? In my life, it's I've learned a lot about me. And some of them was okay, and some of it wasn't good, and hopefully I'm getting better on things that weren't good. But that's one of the things we have to do as we grow. Now, these are one another passages. And we're going to be people who don't lie to each other. What happens if we have lied? What if in the past we weren't trustworthy? Right, we have to make it right. And we have to put on that new self. And you know, the passage that Zeke read about Paul, you know, I don't do what I don't want to do. We have to go and we have to apologize sincerely. Right? Don't apologize like the world. I'm sorry if this hurt you, because it's all your fault if you had a problem with it. No. Apologize. And put in place things that will help you do better in the future. Right? That's repentance. That's turning away from the sin. If you haven't been trustworthy, if your yes hasn't been yes and your no, no, think about it. Think about what situations do you put yourself in that you want to lie. Sin often makes us want to lie, so don't sin. Be brave enough to tell the truth and to put those things away. So, truth is freedom. We talked obviously a lot about that. So what is the worst thing, and this is kind of a crazy question, what's the worst thing about being a liar? What are some bad things, I should say, about being a liar? Yes. Yeah. Even when you tell the truth, no one's going to believe you. The whole boy that cried wolf, right? We'll try to do that. Yes.
Makes the devil your father.
It makes the devil your father. That's pretty bad, right? Yep, that's, you know, you're slaves to who you follow. You're the son or daughter of the devil if we lie. Yeah, it destroys unity, right? sports teams, the, you know, military units, all of that. It's about unity. Yes. You got to keep an accounting of what you're lying and who you're lying to. Right. Yes. Yes, you have to remember what you said. Yeah. Yep. No, that's true. And so this destruction of unity, it's, you know, it's what we've talked about a lot of the one another passages were about unity. But we need to be able to trust one another, right? That trust comes from telling the truth, even when it's hard, even when it's inconvenient, even when it's embarrassing. We have to tell the truth. And I sincerely believe that if we are truly going to deal with sin, and I'm telling this to me as much as you, we have to be honest about what we're struggling with. The devil wants you to keep it quiet. The devil wants you to not get help. The devil wants you to die in your sins and not tell anybody. So don't lie to yourself, and like I said, I'm talking to me too. If you're struggling with a sin, and you're struggling alone, and you've been struggling with it for a while, what's going to change? What's going to change? Are you suddenly, am I suddenly just going to become some super Christian that doesn't struggle with that just out of the blue? Or do we tell the truth to one another? And go, hey, I'm struggling with this. Can you help me? Have you struggled with it? Have you been able to conquer it? Are there people that you know that might can give me advice? What are we going to change? Because if we keep it quiet, if we lie by omission, the devil wins. And he wants to win. And embarrassment and pride and I can do it myself, pull yourself up by your bootstraps, all of those things are lies he tells us. And we can't let him win. So we're going to have to be truthful with each other. And you know, we've talked about the things about that. Someone mature in the faith, someone that's trustworthy, someone that can help you, all of those things. But it all comes down to telling each other the truth. Okay, so Christ is the one that frees us in this truth. Any other comments about lying or truthfulness from the positive? Yes. Right, we have to be loving. Speak the truth in love. We need to deal with each other. But do we excuse it? Okay, so we're going to speak the truth in love, but we can't excuse sin. So, if someone likes to embellish things as a storyteller, this is a little too close to home, how do you handle that? It's a little bit more fantastical than it's possible. They're not trying to be mean. But they've gone past the truth. What do you do? What do you say? Really, Zane? Mm-hmm. Really? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Right. Alright, so we have like three different scenarios. So let's add Michelle plus JC. And why do people lie? In these cases, why are the stories embellished? To get what they want, to feel better about themselves, would you say? Really kind of boiling it down? To get attention, they need something, they want to be, you know, affirmed. So, well, yeah, right, but yeah, looking at the Michelle and JC thing, it's because people want to be loved, they want to be impressive, so sometimes I think we should tell the people that have this is, you know what? I love you the way you really are. And you know what? I know that these things aren't true. And I love you anyway. And actually, this is a problem. We need to have those discussions, right? And that's, you know, people as equals. We do that. Now, when we go over to what Heather was talking about, they hit me. Well, in our house, with our children, if there's a lie told, the world ends. It has to. Right? If it's a sin, if it's real, you know, when we believe sins, the world ends. Stop the train. We're going to have to come to some conclusion. How you discipline, how you train, those are things, but we can't excuse lying, especially with our children. And so we can have the same discussion. You know, it's much better if you tell the truth, even if you get in trouble, because now you're going to get in trouble for what you're going to get in trouble for, now you get in trouble for lying, and let's not do that. Or if they're trying to, you know, make something good happen or something, make sure that they know they're loved and everything, but you're still in trouble for lying. Does that make sense? And we need to, you know, work with each other. But I think sometimes we just need to stop the thing, and say, hey, this isn't good. I love you, but it's not good. And, you know, we need to think about those things and deal with people, what's that? That's hard. But that's hard to be non-competitive. It's easier just lying in the sand and let's duke it out. Come on. But what is the goal when we talk to someone about things like this? Change. Sometimes we just get so fed up, especially in the pathological liar thing, that we're just like, all right, let's have it out. But that's not the goal. It's not to make ourselves feel better. It's to help the person who's struggling. Yes.
And if we overlook it, we're not helping anybody.
No. No, no, and we can't overlook things. We can't overlook sin because it's like cancer. It's not going to get better if you pretend it's not there. Right? No one, hopefully, no doctor goes, oh, they got cancer, but that's such bad news. We'll just not tell anybody. Right? Sin is much more important that we don't excuse it, but we find ways to help. And sometimes we have to call in more mature people. Or people in certain situations. You know, I'm, you know, almost 50, 1 month away, kind of excited. I think it's kind of cool. But some people thought I wouldn't live this long. But okay, so I'm almost 50, and there's a 20-year-old young woman who's struggling with something. Am I always going to be the right choice to come in and help? No. In general, the answer is no. I can love them and hope good things, but really, I can call in Tracy or I can call in others to help. It's just, you need to realize maybe you're not the person to help. And think about that. Because again, the goal is to help them with what they're struggling with. And it's not about us. And that's part of just being a Christian. Alright, any other things about... Yeah, well, okay. I haven't had a good track record with this. I got a guy that called me a couple of years ago about stuff that happened in Oklahoma. It had been like 4 or 5 years. And he was just furious and he was mad and he was telling things that were actually 100% false. But he believed them. I sincerely believe he would have passed the lie detector test. And it was, none of it was true. And he was mad and rah-rah, you know what I mean? What do you do? I didn't know what to do. Like, well, we're gonna, that's not the way it happened, which obviously didn't go well. And then said, well, okay. Click, he hung up on me, so thankfully I was out of, what do you do? He'd have passed the lie detector test. He was wrong, but he, what do you do? Pray for them. You know, that's all we can do. And that's all, but is that a good thing to do? Yeah. Love them through it? Yes, Haley. Right. So, if we love someone, we will believe all things. So that we should give people the benefit of the doubt. But when it becomes obvious that they aren't telling the truth, we're not being loving by pretending all those things don't exist. And so that's a very important thing that we do. We can pray for them, someone who just lies all the time. We can talk to them about it. But if they sincerely believe that they're telling the truth, anybody have any golden arrows? Yes, Zach. Right. Just establish a groundwork of truth. Yes, Zeke.
You know, what you just said in Matthew 18 about dealing with the brother in sin, whether or not the person who is so obsessed with the lie is a Christian or not, it can be helpful to take someone else who they know and trust to, you know, refute their story.
Mm-hmm. No?
Of course, that could backfire. They may feel like they've been ganged up on. You know,
no, that is true. Matthew 18, take a someone to gain a brother, right? Well, you talk to them first, and then you go with someone to try to establish that framework of truth. That's very important. Well, but we are supposed to be counselors. We're supposed to be the therapists. We're supposed to help each other. We're supposed to be the people who step up and do those things. And you might need help, but we can't run away from those situations. Yes, Mike. Mm-hmm. Right, well, Matthew 18 would say that, you know, you bring someone with you, bring it to the congregation, and then, you know, then you have to make that separation. So, I hope, you know, we don't have time to go to the next verse, but I hope that we take this seriously, and I hope that we sincerely evaluate if we're telling the truth all the time. Especially to our kids. I think we do more damage to that relationship. The candy's all gone. No, you're not getting any more candy. It's a difference. One's true and one's false. Tracy brought up Santa Claus and the Tooth Fairy. I'm like, well, you know, and I really fought against that. And then we said we didn't. We kids know. And then we said it's fun to pretend. And the kids were just going on and on about Santa Claus leaving, cooking and everything. We go, you know it's make-believe, and they go, yeah, okay, we're going to get the milk out and the cookies. They loved it. But it was so funny because I'm like, did they forget that we, you know, because we're pretending. But kids love to pretend. We had a lot of fun. But that was so shocking to me that Tracy would say we shouldn't lie about Santa Claus. Everybody does. But I think we need to be careful of that. Yes, Zeke?
I'm going
to
ask you about Santa Claus.
Oh, I caught you.
Thanks for shattering my childhood.
Yeah, no, it's just one of those things. Are we going to be tellers of the truth? Because when our kids come, we want our kids to come and ask us the hard questions of life. We need to tell them the truth. We need to tell them the truth about sin, about drugs, about sex, about everything. Tell them the truth. Yeah. Oh, well, yeah. Yeah, that will get you in trouble when your kids start pulling out scientific terms and you're like, that was embarrassing. In the middle of a grocery store, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, I was the guy that David Pickup mentioned that when your kids start talking to you and you go inside, that was me. Because, you know, I didn't grow up that way. So with our kids, you know, Tracy was very good, you know, talking to me about this. And, you know, we talk about scientific words. These are things. This is life. This is biology. This is no big deal. Talk about it. And then your kids start talking to you about it. And the one who was raised like a rose, you know, we don't talk about anything, was going, ah! And then inside I'm talking, okay, yes. But inside I'm going, no! Why did they really do this? We didn't, you know. But we do need to always be open and talking with our kids and speaking the truth.